This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, but I'm excited to speak to Marinda. She came in here this morning full of bounce and energy, and you even brought us croissants, which doesn't always happen.
Oh, wow.
That's nice, huh?
Thank you.
How are you, Marinda?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Grab those headphones. Let's have a chat.
Fabulous.
How are you doing this Monday morning? Good weekend?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. How was yours?
Yeah, it was not bad. All right, let's talk about this the cervical cancer. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it properly, but I know what it is. I know a little bit about it. And we do have to talk a little bit about HPV because that's mm-hmm. part of how so many women in South Africa anyway get cervical cancer. So where do we begin? Can we look at the stats?
Yes, absolutely. So the thing with HPV is that it's prevalent. So 80% of people will contract HPV during their lifetime.
Right.
So if you're at a dinner and they're seeing people around the table, eight of those people have HPV at some stage in their lives.
The men and the women.
Men and women.
Right.
And HPV doesn't have symptoms. So yeah. Men are carriers.
Right.
And they can pass it on to the women.
Right.
And HPV doesn't just cause cervical cancer. It also causes anal cancer, vulvar cancer, penile cancer, and cancers of the
God,
head and the
those
throat.
Those are all the worst ones.
Not great.
Those are terrible. Just go through those again.
So it's anal cancer, penile cancer, cancers of the head and the throat, the vulva cancer. Oh. So it really is it's not something you want.
So this HPV, we can apparently get a shot, and then you don't have
yes.
HPV anymore.
Yes. Yeah. So the HPV vaccination, 70% of cervical cancers are caused by HPV.
See?
So this is
prevent
it. Yes.
We can really prevent this.
Absolutely. And the thing is, what concerns me is when I speak to mothers, you know, they'll always say, yes, but my daughter doesn't have a boyfriend yet. You know, yeah. Her daughter's a teenager. And it's a sexually transmitted disease, but it's not just sexual penetration, it's also yeah. genital contact.
Oh, right.
So, you know, when teenagers start playing around and everything, yeah. they can
yeah, but also every mom thinks her daughter's so angelic,
and then yes.
you find out too late. Why would you want to risk your daughter's health
exactly.
and the health of everybody in your family by just not getting this shot? Just yeah. go for the vaccination.
Well, yeah. that's the thing. And the vaccination reduces the chance of getting cervical cancer by 90%.
Now, you want your daughter to get clear
yes.
of that. I mean, please, let's not even think twice. It's embarrassing that there's still
a stigma.
Yeah, but yeah. You think of how many mothers, they will invent excuses in their heads rather than just going to the doctor, and it's a matter of fact thing. It's kind of like you get your shot for rabies and
yes.
tetanus and that kind of thing,
yeah.
you know?
So if you're a mother, you know, your child is going to become sexually active, even if it's
at some
only
point.
When they're 30.
Yeah, at some point they're going to. And if there's nothing creepier than 30-year-old virgin. Nothing in the universe.
So
really?
it's a preventable disease. And it's something that really concerns me is the fact that it's so, you know, people are blasé about it. And women about their pap smears as well.
Yeah. Now, 1 in 41 South African women is affected by cervical
That's
cancer.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes. Second to breast cancer, it is, jeez. Yeah, it's the most second most prevalent cancer in women in South Africa.
16.84 million women over the age of 15 are at risk of disease in this country. That disease is cervical cancer. So at present, you were giving us the stats there about it's the second most common cancer and has
Among women, has
a 50% mortality rate.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
So half of the people who yes. get cervical cancer will die from it.
Because the problem with cervical cancer is it very often doesn't have symptoms. So by the time that you're diagnosed, it's the cancer is spread, and then it's too late. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Well, like any cancer, just once it gets going, right?
It's a problem.
Okay, so it affects the tissue of the cervix.
Yes.
And is that just the cervix, or does it spread very quickly to other parts of the body?
So my cancer spread outside of the cervix. So I had stage 2B cervical cancer, and by the time they caught it, it had already spread outside the cervix.
How long ago was this?
I was diagnosed in December 2015.
Jeez, okay, so it's not that long ago.
No, it's not that long ago.
Just take me through what you must have gone through there. So you just went for a normal checkup, or how did it... did you discover you had it?
So I used to go to my gynecologist for an annual pap smear, and, I was really good about that, mm-hmm. and because I understood the importance of it.
Right.
And the year before, my gynecologist said, I'm picking up abnormal cells. It really is nothing to worry about. Don't concern yourself. Come back in 6 months' time.
Right.
And so 6 months later, I went back and he said, I'm picking up abnormal cells still. Please don't worry about it. It really is nothing to be concerned about. Come back in 6 months' time. So when I went for my third checkup with mm-hmm. him, he said, your cervix looks terrible, when he did the pap smear, you know? And he said, but still, it's nothing to be concerned about.
But that's not what you want to hear, regardless.
No, not really. No. And so then I went in for an op where they cut away a part of my cervix to do the...
biopsy.
Yeah, a biopsy, basically. And the Monday after the biopsy, I was driving, and my gynecologist phoned me, and he said, you've got cervical cancer. I was driving. It's not ideal. It doesn't happen the way it show you in the movies.
Yeah.
No, not at all. There's no, in the movies, everybody's sitting like, and the doctor's there and there's support.
And someone to hold your hand. Yeah.
Everybody, no, not at all. So it was a huge shock.
What did you think first?
Me? No, it can't be happening to me. This doesn't happen to me. It's just. And I was in shock. And the shock lasted for about a month where I was unable to, I struggled to form an emotion. So I didn't cry. I didn't, And the very difficult thing about having cancer is when you tell people that you love, because people have their own preconceived ideas of what comes with having cancer. Yeah. So if they have lost a loved one to cancer, then immediately when you say the word cancer, they think death.
Mm.
So I started telling people close to me, and I wouldn't tell them over the phone because I just think that that's not the way to do it. So I would sit with someone and say, I'd sort of work up to it. I'd say, I've been for a pap smear and I had a biopsy and then I'd tell them.
Mm.
And when you tell people that you have cancer, it almost looks like they've been kicked in the stomach. The shock is insane.
There's something that interests me about the way you've described all of this now, is you're more concerned about their reaction.
I was very concerned about their reaction.
What was your reaction to them? Because, I mean, it's not easy to tell people this. It's difficult for you. You're anticipating a reaction from them, but actually their whole attitude to you changes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. There were people, when I told them, I knew that there was going to be a problem. This relationship was going to be a problem because they had some kind of experience with cancer before and it was hard for them and they couldn't understand how this could be happening to their friend. And I lost a friend like that because she couldn't deal with what was happening to me.
Wow.
Yeah, that was rough.
As if you don't have enough to deal with yourself.
I've never thought of it that way, because sometimes you do have those people in your life who can't carry your story. They can't be there. You just want support, and now you have to worry about them on top of everything that you're going through.
Yeah.
Shucks.
So that's actually one of the reasons why I stopped telling people, because I couldn't stand the look on someone's face when you tell them that you have cancer. It was just a little bit too much to deal with.
But I mean, there's some people you can't not tell.
Yes.
So like family.
Absolutely.
And, but others you didn't need to tell.
No.
So you just decided, all right, I'm just going to do this on my own. I don't need them necessarily. I've got some other people supporting
me. So I had about 10 or 12 people who I told and who supported me, and they were absolutely incredible.
All right. Well, that's good news because you do need the supportive environment. I mean, there's nothing worse than going through something like this totally on your own.
No, you can't go through.
But it must have been difficult physically. It must have been difficult emotionally.
Mm.
And did you see death when you heard the word cancer?
I knew that
did
it
you
was
think
a
this
possibility.
Is how I'm going to go?
Yes. No, well, I didn't think that. You do think about death. And I had a little bit of an existential crisis just before I turned 40, mm-hmm. And And I just got over that. And then cancer happened. And then I thought, no. This can't be. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do in life. You know, just it's not an option for me to. And it's not something that's in your control. But I didn't want to die.
But you're sitting here in front of me now. You're healthy as can be. You seem to me to be very good health-wise in terms of your, you know, you've got a purpose. You're here talking about this in a very positive way. How does that happen between when you got the diagnosis and you had the trauma of telling everyone and you're dealing with it on your own and trying to psychologically get past it? When do you start seeing the sun?
I had hope right from the start. I had a lot of people praying for me. My faith was very important to me, and that's actually what carried me through.
Right.
And I just knew that it was like a knowing that it was going to be okay. Even though I had to go through chemotherapy and radiation and all of that, and I didn't know how long the process was going to last, I had this sort of confirmation inside, if for lack of a better word, that I was going to be okay.
So stage 2B is
that's
where
right.
they diagnosed you. So
yes.
That means it hasn't spread to other organs and things yet.
So it had spread outside the cervix. And normally with cervical cancer, if it's contained within the cervix, they do a hysterectomy.
Yes.
So they couldn't do that with me. So they did chemotherapy and radiation.
And it all worked. You went into remission.
It did. Now, I don't know if you know anything about chemotherapy, but you get different regimes.
Yes.
And a lot of people on chemotherapy will have a 6 month where they go once a month for chemo. So there's a little bit of time in between to start feeling a little bit better. Most of those people can still work even though they are sick in between and everything. Mine was 5 weeks of chemotherapy, 1 week after the other.
Wow, that must have taken its
and
toll.
And I basically only left home to go to radiation and to go to chemotherapy because when they do radiation of the cervix, they radiate your bowel area. So, sorry, but yeah, you have vicious diarrhea.
Oh, my God.
And obviously the constant vomiting from the
chemo.
So it's really not pleasant at
all.
Well,
it's poison.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Jeez, that must have been a tough 5 weeks.
It was really terrible, and at the end of that,
physically weak, right?
I couldn't. When I got up in the morning and I opened my curtains, I was exhausted.
Wow,
there just is no energy. I could not walk, and the doctor kept saying, "Do a little bit of exercise." And I'm like, "He's never had
yeah.
chemo and radiation. He doesn't, you know, he means well, but he doesn't get it." So that's it was tough.
So, I mean, what your lessons from this in terms of what other women could do to kind of prevent it, for starters. And, you know, if you can't prevent it, you can't prevent it. There's sometimes these things just happen.
Yes,
you know, it's like cancer is your own body turning on you in some way.
Yeah.
But what have you learned, and how can you help other women?
So for me, if you're a mother, I would take your child to have them vaccinated, whether they're a boy or a girl.
Okay.
And you can take them between the ages of 9 and 12. That's the ideal age to have them vaccinated. And when you become sexually active and you're over 20 years of age,
yep.
go for your regular pap smears. Make sure that you get checked out. You know your own body. I had pain sort of on the left-hand side in the pelvic area. And it got so bad that I when I slept on my left-hand side, I could feel it.
Wow. And so that was the key. And if you'd listened to your body, you might have figured this out sooner.
Yes. And the thing is, people don't want to know. And so it's really, when you pick up something that doesn't feel right, it's easier to ignore it and have your head in the sand, you know, which is not great when there's a diagnosis that needs to happen. So for me, it's important that you get checked out regularly,
Yeah, got to have these things looked at.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, you made it. I mean, this is a happy story.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it has this, this fortunate outcome.
Mm.
But I suppose for lots of women, it isn't that fortunate.
No, and unfortunately not.
and if you're not covered by some kind of medical aid or insurance with
vitally
chemo
important.
And radiation
therapy.
Oh,
it's expensive. And this is the thing, is women come to me and say, but the HPV vaccination is expensive. And then I'll say, do you have any idea how expensive cancer is?
Yeah. Mm.
Very expensive disease to have.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely need to be covered. So thankfully I was.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really thankful for that. But you need cover.
Sure. Well, there we go. So you know, and this HPV thing is just such an easy way to deal with cancer before it even comes about.
That's the thing. It's a really easy way to just make sure that there's a 90% chance that you will not get diagnosed, that you will not have, cervical cancer is preventable. It frustrates me how people are just so ignorant.
Well, especially if you've been through what you've been through.
Mm.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always good to hear these things firsthand because otherwise we tend to externalize it. You know, it's something that happens out there. Like you said in the car, this can't be happening to me. It does.
You don't ever think. Yeah.
No, it happens to all of us.
Yes. Oh yeah,
and it's just around the corner, and you've got to be aware of the fact that it could happen to you, and don't think it won't.
Absolutely, thank you.
Well, very good. You've actually created an awareness video to highlight the importance of these Pap smears, HPV vaccinations, and early detection. Where can we see that video?
You can see that on my website. That's heatwavephotography.co.za.
Okay.
That's heatwave like the weather phenomena.
Right.
.co.za photography. No, people get it wrong. Yeah. That's right on the front page of my website. And so, yes, if people want to go check that out, that'd be fantastic.
Thanks, Marinda.
Great.
Nice to see you this morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.